Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Special guest in studio, Bruce Pritchard. You know who that is, right? Brother-in-law, you dressed up as him last year after losing the perfect parlay pick segment. You're probably going to win this year.
My but guy.
Anyway, he'll be in studio to promote John Cena's final match and then Monday Night Raw at Barclays on January 5th. So we'll have some fun with him. Dude, you realize he is a wrestling encyclopedia.
Oh, I know. I've seen some podcasts. He's tremendous. He's great.
Maybe outside of Vince himself, Bruce Pritchard would be the one guy that you could talk to about anything that you and I have ever loved in WWE.
We're getting into the weeds.
Have some fun with him. Let's go, baby. At 12 o'clock, and obviously keep you up to date.
A little Tomlin stuff later as well. Yeah. Looking forward to getting to that, maybe with the Giants.
Keep you up to date on all that's going on with the baseball rumors. One thing that I saw yesterday, it didn't bother me because I think Michael King is a good pitcher, right? We talked about that, and I could see the value of the Mets being interested in Michael King because he's likely not going to cost as much as Framber Valdez or Ranger Suarez. And you don't have to give up the prospects to get him, whatever. I do think the Mets are going to have to make a trade. They're reportedly interested in Peralta. By the way, did you see about McGill as well, that they're interested in both the Mets and Yankees?
Yep.
Here's the thing that bothers me. I want to get your thoughts on this. I'm thinking about King, and I'm like, yeah, I like the potential, and I like the value. And then I think to myself, can they just stop with the former Yankees? How many former Yankees are the Mets going to be going after
you? As long as you don't get number 99, you can take pretty much everybody else a few pitchers.
I mean, am I with Bellinger? I mean, maybe Michael King? I mean, when will it end? Why are the Mets continuing to go after former Yankees? I know that because the Yankees have good players. Okay, King is good, and he's obviously a team removed from the Yankees, but... Good God, dude. Everybody, yeah. David Stern signs a former Yankee.
All right, so I know we're having fun, but does this really bother you? I mean,
a little bit.
Okay, and do you think...
Why did I even think about it, I guess, is what I'm... I didn't think about it until I saw that, the Mets are honing in on Michael King or that, and I'm like, God, another Yankee.
Well, I mean, listen, the good news is that he's actually one of the good former Yankees. You know, you got a great former Yankee in Juan Soto one day ago today. Some of the other guys, a little strange.
Sevy, Devin Williams, Mendoza.
Yeah, I was going to say Mendoza. Don't forget about Clay Holmes as well.
Clay Holmes, right. Converting him.
I heard people saying, give DJ LeMahieu a shot. Some people on this station, like, when the Yankees caught him, hey, bring him in, see if there's any juice left. And they didn't do that. I mean, I get it. I think, I'm just trying to kind of flip that. And if the Mets were the team with all the championship and it was completely reversed and... The Yanks are picking up. Now, I don't look at it as like the droppings or the excess on the editing floor. I mean, Michael King is a really good pitcher who, by the way, I would love to have back on the Yankees. The Yankees don't quite have that pressing need for arms. So, I don't know. Maybe it's part, and I don't get into this. Others do. So this is not me trying to be, whatever to the Met fans. Is it, the little brother syndrome that's kicking in? I don't know, but it shouldn't, because pertaining to Michael King, he's good, and pertaining to Juan Soto, he's pretty awesome. So you guys are doing okay in that regard.
I mean, Soto obviously is a different story to me. I just don't understand why it's so many of these guys. Like, it was the latest from Feinstein that I saw. Michael King appears to be the Mets' top rotation target. That's what bothered me.
Well, that's the one word that should bother you when it gets to top.
Right. So
not former Yankee, top.
It's like that's their top rotation target, and it's another guy that was a former Yankee. So that is what bothers me. Maybe you're right. Maybe I'm just taking it out on that he's a former Yankee, although there is a pattern here. Anyway, so Feinstein saying Michael King appears to be the Mets' top rotation target as a source confirmed that the right-hander recently held a Zoom meeting, so we had that. And then here was another one. This is Feinstein. I think we went over this a little bit yesterday, but Feinstein saying that David Stearns is hesitant to sign a starting pitcher long-term deal to 5 or more years, which could take them out of the mix for all those top guys. Even Amai, like, that's where I draw the line. Okay, you want to tell me Suarez or Valdez, you think that they're going to be too rich for your blood? Tatsuya Amai? You're not going to go all in for him where there's an entertainment aspect of it as well. Not only what he said about the Dodgers, not only the potential that he has, but also bringing in a player from Japan can be exciting to watch every 5 days. So where are the here's the bottom line. Michael King's the top target. That is nowhere near enough for the Mets to turn around that rotation and fix that rotation this offseason.
I don't disagree, and I don't think that that's all they'll do. But what if I tell you that that would mean that Diaz comes back and the Mets have, in theory, you know, best set 8-9 bullpen in baseball?
Yeah,
like, there's different
ways
to build out this team. As I said, with the Yankees, like, you know, maybe you go and you make a monster trade for score. I know we're talking about the Mets now, but I think we're, like, so married to this conventional way of building these teams that we lose sight of there's multiple ways to construct a championship team. But I think maybe, like, the Yankees can go about their business by having the best rotation. I actually said the century if things really work out. That's obviously a little hyperbolic, but you guys know what I mean. Whereas the Mets, maybe we thought that they would flood the market or their market with high-end arms where, well, maybe they don't do that. They get a really good arm in Michael King. You get more from McClain. Manaea bounces back. Maybe you make a smaller level trade for one more arm, and you have a lock bullpen. Another way to do it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm starting to worry about Diaz coming back because of the rumors about getting McGill from the Brewers. Maybe there's a deal to be made for Peralta and McGill, which I would love from the Mets' perspective, but obviously that would take Diaz out of the mix and then go from there. I mean, you could forward it also, BT, to Alonso. You're right. Bottom line is there's all these rumors, and they're not all going to be in sequential order, meaning, okay, well, they get this guy, and now this happens. There are many variables to where, okay, if this guy comes off the board, then we'll go here. If this guy wants to come back, then we'll go here. There's a lot of, well, they're talking to Bellinger, and he could be a top target. Yeah, but if the Yankees bring him back, then what? Well, Alonso is going to the winter meetings, driving himself there, and he's going to meet with
that?
The Red Sox and Orioles. Yeah, I mean,
not unconventional, but doesn't it just kind of seem
And
beneath him to have to, like, it's almost unfair that he has to do this.
Juan Soto wasn't driving himself.
No, he wasn't. He was chilling back, and then somebody flew in on the Learjet.
He might have gone, right?
Didn't he? I don't even think he went. I don't think so. I mean, he might have, but yeah. And I don't mind that Pete's doing it. I understand why he's doing it. The Mets know his personality.
His market again is
not
there.
I think it's going to be. I think he's getting three. I think he's going to get 4 years when it's all said and done. Maybe an option for 5. I don't think it will be more than that. But I think it's different from last year for a couple of reasons. The bounce back with the average, the qualifying offer's gone. I think that there's going to, and I think the Red Sox are really in the market for him. Maybe Baltimore, whatever. But I think what Pete's doing is he's got to show his personality. I mean, everybody in baseball, you know, knows what he is from a baseball point of view. I actually think it's a pretty smart move because I think he's a relatable, you know, a little goofy, and I mean that in a good way, jovial, you know, gentle giant who, if you get him in a room with, you know, 10 Baltimore Orioles executives, he's probably going to make them feel really good, and maybe they do tack on the extra year.
I feel like the Orioles are a potentially more dangerous landing spot, meaning that the Mets would not have, you know, would lose Pete to the Orioles more so than the Red Sox. This from The Athletic, Alex Bregman still appears to be the Red Sox number one target, in part because of the defensive upgrade he provided over Rafael Devers. So if you factor that in, Bregman being their top target, and they're starting to talk about defense, not so sure they're going to be the ones willing to go the extra year for Pete. Remember, the Mets are going to have a 3-year offer for Alonso, which I'm sure is going to be $30 million a year, whatever it is.
Yeah.
He just wants more length. And if the Red Sox aren't going to be able to extend for it, then who is? Is it going to be the Orioles? So we'll find out. By the way, the Pirates, the 4-year offer to Schwarber.
Yeah, what was the total?
Was in the 120 range.
Wow.
So if you do the math on that.
30-something.
Yeah.
So that's actually pretty. Congratulations, Pirates.
Well, it's a real offer.
It is.
Now, my question is he going to get more than that? And if he does that have an impact on what Pete's market can be?
Michael King get more than that? Is that what you said? I'm sorry.
No,
Michael
Pete,
King.
Pete.
Okay, I got you.
Schwarber and Pete. So if Schwarber gets 4 years, if the baseline is the Pirates offer for 4 years, 120, and I'm Schwarber and I'm now shopping that around.
Yeah.
So you would think somebody's going to give him, okay, let's say 4 years for more than
145. That would be the Phillies. Phillies will top that offer.
Or you tack on a fifth year.
Yeah.
And then what does that do for Pete's market? Does that, if Schwarber's off the board, many people expect Schwarber to be the first domino.
Yep.
Then is Pete in a more powerful position saying, okay, well, he got this.
I know what you're saying.
And now he's off the board.
I don't think so. Because I think Schwarber's the better hitter. And I think I know Pete literally plays defense every day, but. Yeah. You know, he's not enough of a defender. He's fine. We've talked about this.
But he's more versatile. I know.
I'm so tired of the same words, the same buzzwords, the same descriptions. We've gone through this a million times. It doesn't matter because we're not going to be here in a week or so. But if this thing drags on, we're not. If this thing drags on for another 2 months with Pete Alonso, honestly, I don't know that I would be able to have the same conversation about Pete Alonso every single day. We know who he is.
But it's been going on for years.
I know. That's why I'm at my tipping point.
Understood with Pete, but there is something to be said about having a team with a little bit of flexibility, meaning that I always was one-track mind. It's the DH spot. I've seen it successful in the American League forever.
You
finally had the National League take on the DH, and the Mets can't find one. In my mind, it's just go get the best hitter possible, put him at DH. However, I've evolved in my thought process along with the sport evolving. You can't tell me that the Mets wouldn't benefit from having a little flexibility with that spot, meaning Pete can be the primary DH, but he could also play first, where you can use different guys in that spot or get a different bat in the lineup depending on the matchup with the pitcher. There's a lot there. We've seen it with the Yankees, how Stanton, who is a primary DH, that's all he could do, he kind of gets in the way of other pieces.
But I don't think that the Yankees, and by the way, it would be nice to talk about tangible Yankee news. There's just nothing to talk about. Like, it's not like we're purposely avoiding talking about there's literally nothing right now to talk about. The DH situation with the Yankees is very different, though. That's a problem, and that's because of Stanton's inability to post every day and do anything but hit. He can't run, can't play the field. Like, that is just, that's the only option. Whereas I don't think the Mets should look at it that way. I mean, the days of the Vogelbacks and the Ruffs and, you know, obviously Marte, a better player than those guys, and Vientos, some bright moments, but that position has to be solidified to me. And it's been an abyss since the DH was really introduced in the National League. Every year it's like, well, maybe you got two. J.D. Martinez, good pro, but come
on. Don Smith, come on.
Dom Smith, enough of this. Would you do this the right way? And I just think, and I know, I think actually a lot of baseball people would agree with this assertion. I really do. Independent of emotion, strip it away. And if you can't, I get it. I understand because Pete's your boy. But I would much rather have, over the course of 600 plate appearances for Team X, if I had the option of Schwarber and I had the option of Alonso, I want Kyle Schwarber. He does more damage. He's on base more. He's a tough red bat. He's got a 900 OPS in October. Yeah. Pete's had some moments as well in the clutch, obviously. But I would prefer Schwarber. So it doesn't seem like the Mets are very motivated to go out there and pursue Schwarber with real vigor. They're kind of like kicking the tires. I think that's the wrong move. That's the name that I've said for over a month now. Like, if I ran the Mets, that would be, and then pitching, my primary target.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Lots of speculation, lots of rumors. We'll discuss it all with you. 888-808-1019. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Larry is in Westchester starting us off. What's up, Larry?
Hello.
BT, Sal, how you boys doing today?
How are you, Larry?
What's up, man?
I'm fine. Listen, a couple of things. If they can get Peralta and McGill and then sign a King or a Framber Valdez, that's a great step towards solving that rotation issue. It's a good first step. Number two, Alonso, I really think that he is going to go back with the Mets, probably in the range 4 years, $35 million a year, $140 million over 4 years. And finally, we need a left fielder. What do you think of this trade? It would benefit both teams, I feel. How about Brett Beatty for Jason Dominguez even up? I was impressed with Dominguez the second half of last year.
I would not do that, Larry. As crazy as that sounds, and thank you for the call, I would not do that from a Mets perspective. And by the way, that is something that Stearns was talking about last night, and Mendoza. Sounds like Beatty's going to be the Mets' third baseman.
I have no issue with that. Yeah, I like him.
Me neither.
I like him.
Me neither, but there's a big but. You got to build around everything else now. Okay, I'm fine with Beatty. So you get good value there. Obviously, you're not paying much. He had a strong second half.
Yeah, he did.
He could play a little second if needed, but he, you're seeing him grow.
Yep.
Whereas normally, I'd just be like, come on, man, enough. But it shows. You give him 2-3 years, and now all of a sudden, he's starting to look like he could be a ball player and reach his potential. I don't even want to say full potential, but start to realize his potential. So Beatty at third, Lindor at short, Semien at second. They have a spot available at first base that could either be Alonso, it could be Vientos. There's some room there. Yeah. I mean, McNeil a little bit. We know Alvarez is probably going to be the catcher, so they have first base, and then they need clearly at least one outfielder. The other is going to be one of the young players, and they have Soto. So the Mets, there's a couple of big moves remaining just in that lineup, first base and the outfield, but Beatty's going to be their third baseman.
The Mets have a lot of work to do. This is not exactly breaking news. Now, I was looking at some projected contracts here for Michael King because that's how we started things up, right? It appears to be a main target. For the Mets, spit back 3 years, $57 million.
What?
I would definitely do that.
I'm saying that's it?
Yeah, exactly. Another was 4 for $80 million. All right, I'd probably still do that. Here's the thing, though. Nobody's really factoring this into the conversation about the Mets pitching staff. And I understand why. Like, there's an urgency now. When you watch every Met game last year, and it's 1 1/3, it's 3 1/3, it's 2 innings, and the guy's in the shower. Like, it was as bad as starting pitching as I've seen in a long time. So we know that they've got to address that, and they will. But I think that it's kind of being ignored. They could address that in the middle of the season. Now, I know that everybody wants to go to Port St. Lucie. Port St. Lucie, here's my number one.
Port St. Lucie. It's not bad, BC.
Oh, my God. That's not your thing coming up with the name. Yeah, Port St. Lucie. I like it. Hey, well, why not that 3 years ago? I'm running out of real estate here, Sal. Not material, though. Yeah. Anyway, I think that when you look at this unquenching desire, which I get, by Met fans to go locked and loaded to Port St. Lucie. This guy one, this guy two, this guy three, this guy four, this guy five in the rotation. People are failing to incorporate that. You could trade for Skubal during the season. You could trade for Skeens during the season. I know you want it now. But maybe if you build it out the other way and keep those trading resources, the Jet Williams, the Benjes, guys that they really like, and some of the young pitchers, maybe you can catch something big in the middle of the season. Nobody's saying that, but you could.
Joey calling from Babylon. What's up, Joey?
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good.
What up, Joe?
Long-time listener. You guys do a great job. And New York is the place you want to be. I mean, Pete Alonso, we got Soto. We need a good back behind Soto. We got Lindor still. Would it be something if we could get Schwarber as well? I mean, that would be awesome.
A Schwarber and Pete? That's not happening.
Probably not, but we're dreamers. You know, we want to win. We haven't won since 86.
We want
to see a different team on the field as well this year. We got a lot of hitters, you know, not for nothing. Vientos, Beatty, McNeil, they go hot and cold. So does Pete. They all get hot.
So does Lindor.
Yeah, I'm confused. Do you want Pete back or not? I mean, come on, Joey.
I don't know. It's kind of moving. Yeah, we want a team that has a little bit more consistency, and I think that's the key. I think that's what they're looking at.
Sorry, Joey, go ahead.
And that's what I think that they're looking at right now.
Well, that's why I'd be open for, and thank you for the call, Joey. That's why, BT, I'd be open for anything. Yesterday, I told you what I would do, and I want to prioritize bringing Pete back. For a lot of reasons, none of which include that he's been a lifelong Met or has the home run record. I don't care about that. I care about his production and care about his wins, and I think he could help in that regard. So as much as that would be the priority for me, I am certainly open. Same thing with Diaz. I'm open. Like, the thought of that trade for Peralta and McGill from the Brewers, that gets me excited.
I like it.
You know what I'm saying?
I do. I've been talking about pitching. Yeah.
Not only are they both very good, it's just a change of pace a little bit, change of the look of a team that has failed for a long time now with this group. So the same thing with Alonso. While I want Pete back, I am certainly excited about the idea of potentially landing Kyle Schwarber, even though I don't think it's necessarily realistic for the Mets.
Yeah, and as much as I'm saying Schwarber would be my top target, I don't think he's going to the Mets. I think he's going to stay with the Phillies. If it's not the Phillies, which I strongly believe that it will, then I can see him going to the Reds. So I don't think Schwarber's coming here. And I got to tell you, if I'm Pete, I am emotionally at the point. I mean, you're making me go to the meetings hand in hat, knocking on sweet doors to sell myself. I might be at the point, if I'm Pete, I might say, screw you, Mets, I'm done.
Right, I'll take less
really
to go
might.
Somewhere else.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah, and I'll save money on taxes. I might get the extra year. I might have better weather. Might have better chance to win,
problem
whatever.
Problem is you can't. you can't do that. I know it sounds great, yep. but if the Mets are the best offer, like the Mets aren't lowballing Pete. It's just that his market is not where he thinks it should be. If it is, he's going to be happy getting 5 years from Baltimore and saying, hey, he'll go back to the Mets and say, here's the offer from Baltimore. And the Mets say, well, we don't want to give you that. And then he can go take it. If not, you can't say screw you when you don't have any other offers.
No, I don't mean now. I mean what you do is you collect the offers and then eventually right. you say screw you when you sign somewhere else. Correct. That's what you do. You can't spite the negotiations. Now you've got to use the Mets as leverage, because if the Mets aren't involved in this, which they are, and you were talking about this as far back as a week yeah. or 10 days ago, the Mets' willingness to probably only go 3 years. Well, if that's the starting parameter, and I believe it from the Mets' point of view, and probably the drop-dead parameter, I believe somebody's coming with more than three. So I think, and I've always thought, there's a really good chance that Pete's gone. I say all that because if I don't think Schwarber's coming here, even though I would want him, and I do think there's a stronger than 50% chance that Pete goes, where's the power next year?
Yeah.
Where is the power?
They don't have it.
That's a problem.
BT and Sal on the Fan. We'll continue the conversation with your calls. Lots of stuff we want to get into with the NFL as well. Remember, some WWE talk with Bruce Pritchard in studio coming up at 12 o'clock. Just getting started on this Tuesday morning. BT and Sal on the Fan.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm just reading this from the New York Post here, BT. Red Sox have serious, in quotations. Actually, it's not quotations. What's the other one? The single... You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I know. The
because the doubles quotations. What's the single one? I go to you, the grammar and
I mean, like where they're attributing a quote. Is that like where
where the word? So Red Sox have,
and then
it says serious, but not double.
Not
quote.
Double. It's single.
Yeah,
I'm not sure the exact term.
Anybody?
anybody?
Sorry, forget I asked.
Hello.
Anyway, the Red Sox have serious free agency meeting with Bo Bichette.
Okay.
I mean, if their top priority, and again, these are reports, we don't know, but if the Red Sox top priority is Bregman and they're having a serious meeting with Bo Bichette, you do the math. I mean, they're
not bringing Pete at that point.
I
don't think they're bringing Bregman and Bichette either.
I don't necessarily,
well, it's fairly redundant because you're not going to have Bichette play shortstop.
No, why wouldn't you have him play second?
You could. I'm saying you could. I mean, I guess they actually could make the money work, yeah.
Bregman at third, Bichette at second.
I guess they could actually, yeah, they could
do that. I could see two. Like, if Bregman's their top priority, then I'm not sure whether they'd be taking a, quote, serious meeting with Bichette. Anyway, to me, it makes it less likely, or it seems less likely. Now, remember, they're having a meeting with Pete. Pete's going to meet with the Red Sox and Orioles when he drives himself to the winter meetings. And the reason why Pete's driving, we were joking about it before, but he lives in Tampa or wherever he lives in Florida. So obviously it's not a big deal for him to go to Orlando and show up at the winter meetings like a lot of players do. And he's expected to meet with those two teams. David Stern says not a big deal. We know Pete. We don't need to meet with him. Like, we already know Pete and where he's at. He's got to meet with others and see what other options are out there before coming back to them. So I wouldn't go nuts. But what I would say is it doesn't seem like there are 5-6 suitors for Pete Alonso. It seems, according to reports, that there are two, one of which who might not really be that interested in the Red Sox if they're prioritizing Bregman and having a, quote, serious meeting with Bo Bichette.
Listen, I know they're doing due diligence as well. I mean, let's face this. If they put, you know, all of their energies into, say, a Bregman-Schwarber-Pete trio, and Bregman gets something unexpected and bounces, well, then then you're kind of in a hole. So where if you remain engaged with Bichette, I don't know that you'd want to necessarily plug him at a third base, but I just think you do this just to keep the areas and the avenues of dialogue open. So if something happens unexpected, it's just business. I think that the Red Sox would be moronic not to go an extra year more than anybody else for Pete. Pete Alonso at Fenway Park would be ridiculous.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
I don't know. If there's a... If you have an issue, you, BT, have an issue with extending for Pete, then why would that be different in just because of the ballpark?
Yes.
Yeah, but I don't know. It's not like Pete's just a dead pull hitter. He hits a lot of homers. I don't know about a lot, but he can hit homers to all fields.
Well, that's, yeah, as Devin Williams. Right, but that's part, in a good way, that's part of the reason why Pete was able to get the average back up last night, and we saw last year, and we saw very early down in Port St. Lucie. Down in Port St. Lucie last year, that he was kind of changing his approach and letting the ball get a little deeper and hit the ball to right field.
Also, could become
which led to a lot of doubles, which is a good thing.
Right, could become dangerous for Pete or any hitter, like a lefty at Yankee Stadium. All of a sudden,
trying to jack it.
Yeah, that's why we didn't worry about Soto, because he wasn't going to worry about the short porch. He's going to do his thing.
Same with Bellinger.
Yeah, exactly. There are certain guys you want to make sure you stick to that. So Pete, you know, seeing the lore of the Green Monster right there, maybe a part of him would try to continue to jack home runs or pull more home runs, which can be a detriment to him. So I would just recommend being himself. That's why I wouldn't get caught up in the ballpark. I think the Red Sox need offense and they could use the power bat.
Yep.
But I wouldn't just say they should go more just because of their ballpark.
But the reality is, it's the shortest fence in baseball. And I know, now, by the way, that being the case, what do opposing pitchers do? Well, they feed you outside stuff, so right. You can't pull it. Although these guys could actually hook outside pitches. I just think if he played 81, he posts every day, so he's playing 158 minimum, you know, God forbid something wacky happens. He's playing every night. You give him 81 home games, let's say he sits two, so he plays about 79 or so, and, you know, 80 times 4, 320. You give him about 320 at-bats or plate appearances in that stadium, I would bet for Pete to hit 50 home runs next year. What? I really would in that ballpark. I mean, not all in Fenway, but you know what I mean.
I don't necessarily disagree with that. I'm not sure I would sign up right on the dotted line for 50, but we know he's going to produce with power because that's what he does, which brings me to this. What is up with the market? He plays every day post. First time I heard that term.
I know. Horses.
Was with Omar Minaya on Baseball Night in New York on SNY, 6 o'clock Monday through Friday.
Yeah.
First time I heard.
You better start plugging that a lot now.
Don't say anything.
Can I be a guest?
Sports Night as well. Well, I tried years ago.
Oh, yeah.
I did when we first got teamed up. I told you about that. Let me talk about more.
Oh, yeah.
I did. I told you to reach out to them. Okay.
I know you did.
Anyway.
You did.
So, Alonso, he posts. The first time I heard that was Omar Minaya saying, well, these guys post. And I'm like, what the hell does that mean, post? Well, they play every day. Oh, well, why not just say that post? he plays every day.
Here comes Pete coming out of the left side. All right.
And Mendoza said it again last night.
Yeah, I know.
He posts.
I know.
So why? But then why wouldn't a guy who plays every day, like we look at Buxton and say, I don't know about Buxton, he's always hurt. Or certain guys, they're always banged up.
Yep.
He plays every day. And he has, even in some inconsistencies with the overall numbers for the last few years, he has produced with power consistently.
Mm-hmm.
How is it possible that he would not have a decent five-year? It just doesn't make sense, even if you go back to a year ago. But especially now with the no qualifying offer and coming off of a big year.
The game's changed. I know in a lot of ways it's unfair to Pete. If this was the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, into the 2000s, Pete would have been handsomely rewarded. There's an emphasis on defense. There's an emphasis on foot speed. There's an emphasis on being able to throw the baseball a little bit. And those are things that Pete can't do. He's on the wrong side of 30. He's a righty. So those are the real reasons. And I'm not even saying it's fully fair, but that's the reason. You know, and I got to tell you, the verbiage, I was jotting a couple things down, and I'm guilty of it as well. Oh, the Jets have all this draft capital. Can we just say Jets have a lot of draft picks? Jets have all the draft equity. Stick up your behind. Yeah. I can't stand this. And they even do this like, and again, I'm doing it, which is bothering me. So I'm the idiot. Because I didn't even invent it. At least if I came up with a term and I was saying it, I could sound like a tool. But at least, you know, I'm the ownership of the word, which is worse because I'm just taking somebody else's stupid word and using it. Like, we talk about the free agent. Hey, who's a free agent? The free agent market. Like, we're talking about stocks and bonds. It really is... It's, you know what it is? Listen, here's what's happening. And it's happened a long time ago, and it's not changing. The infiltration of geeks in professional sports has led to a radical overhaul in how we converse about the game. That's the bottom line.
Right, because it's, not, eggheads. It's not just normal baseball dudes talking shop.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, but Omar's an old school baseball
guy. Omar's
got
some street in him, so he's different. I'm not saying that. Omar, that does not apply to Omar.
Also, some of the terminology, posts, I don't think is a nerdy term. I just think it's in a baseball term, like the dry humps. That's been a thing forever. I never heard of that before. As a baseball,
about the swings? Dry humps?
No, getting the pitchers up in the bullpen. Mickey Callaway.
Dry humps?
Yeah, you've heard this, dude. When Mickey Callaway was talking about you don't want to dry hump the guy, and everybody's like, huh? What are you talking about? They call it the when you get a reliever up but don't get him in the game, you're dry humping him.
Are you serious?
Yeah,
I don't remember that.
I can't believe you missed that.
I was down the hole doing national stuff, so I really, I still followed the Yanks and the Mets. I don't remember that.
So that is
That's hysterical.
That is a term. I'll give you another one. Ron Darling on SNY sometimes refers to run as points, which I've never heard of.
That's unacceptable,
Ronnie. But for us, the outside, as much as we think we're in, on the outside, it's like, well, who the hell refers to, I've never heard that ever, baseball runs being referred to as points.
They're not, they're runs.
But on the inside, Ronnie's not the only one who does that.
Yeah, but Ronnie's 65, 60 years old. I mean, Ronnie should just say runs.
I'm saying the players themselves, dating back to when he was a kid, probably, I don't know about college or when he became in the pros, some baseball pros refer to
runs as points?
Yes.
What?
Yes. Put some points on the board. Yes. You could ask those guys. I've talked to them.
A couple ducks on the pond. I mean, I've heard of a million expressions. Put some points on the board.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Even
I've heard that once.
We've heard the familiar ones, but even for people who fancy themselves as baseball livers, like ourselves, like, I'm a baseball fan, been in it since 40 years loving the game, all that stuff. But there are terms that I'm hearing, and I'm like, what the hell is that? But they're inside the game.
From Callaway. Just call it prom night instead.
Dry hump.
For some.
We don't need dry humping them. Gotta get them in that game.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
In baseball slang, dry humping, I'm reading this from AI right now, refers to...
And this is not when Pete was actually humping the rail, right?
No, that was a different kind of thing.
I know.
I think that was a hip thrust, if I'm not mistaken. All right, anyway, which I got to get back to doing that, maybe some more free time at home, who knows, you know what I'm saying?
Come on, buddy.
All right, a relief pitcher...
Oh, boy.
A relief pitcher warming up intensely in the bullpen right at the end of the game, only for the manager never to bring him in. Mickey Callaway famously used it in 2018, causing some stir. So I'm going to give you a couple more on this because I think it's funny.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm just reading this again from AI. Frustration. So the pitcher gets ready, relief, get warmed up, couldn't come in the game. The frustration, the pitcher is left physically primed, but without the chance to pitch. The situation often called blue ball in baseball.
I was thinking that. I didn't know if you could actually say it. That's, of course, that's what I was thinking.
Just reading AI, I know. Then I saw another one. This is according to Baseball Dictionary.
He leads the league in blue balling, folks.
This is Baseball Dictionary. This one got me.
Oh, boy.
So dry hump, definition, baseball almanac here. Describing a situation in which the coach or manager tells a pitcher to get warmed up to go into the game and then does not put you into the game. As Buck Showalter used the term in a 2018 televised interview with Jason Stark, quote, I'll tell you this, I don't know if there's been a manager in my lifetime that impacted more other manager style than Tony La Russa. I never saw Tony dry hump a pitcher. It's a real thing, dude.
Man. Then, I don't know how I missed this one.
I mean, neither.
Wow.
And then I got a text from Dennison Yonkers, our buddy, big-time baseball, big-time Giant fan, both San Francisco Giants, New York Giants. He goes, I don't know about the dry hump stuff, but Billy Ripken uses the word points on MLB Network consistently.
Why?
I'm telling you, dude, it's a player's thing.
I watch MLB Network all the time. I don't hear that.
Well, Billy Ripken, you know, whatever. But still,
he does a lot of demonstrations in the studio where you and I did the show. Yeah. We were doing the home run derby. We were messing around like a bunch of five-year-olds at the studio.
Yes, yeah, of
And
course.
Billy does. But there's actually a YouTube video got cranked. Billy got cranked in the face by a line drive by, I think I showed you this once, by Sean Casey. I mean, right off the orbital bone. I watched it 13 times in a row. I had tears in my eyes. But I think Billy's stuff with that is actually really good. And I kind of like him on the air, too. I've never heard him say points. And I really don't want to.
When Ron said it, I was like, what the?
Nah,
but that is
stupid.
The thing. Lastly, on Billy Ripken, you know, he wouldn't sign my baseball card. I told you about that.
A little ornery Billy was, huh?
I didn't ask him to do it. Somebody within the business asked him to do it for me. You know, the famous card. That's what Billy Ripken's known for.
With the bat.
Yeah, the bleep face card.
Yeah, he's known for two things, being Cal's brother and having an expletive on the handle of his bat.
And apparently not saying points, but that's exactly right. Can you please sign
and taking wiffle balls off the schnoz.
He wouldn't do it. Wouldn't sign the... Casey's reaction to that was
the best. That was awesome.
BT and Sal, the fail. Let's get back to some calls. 888-808-1019. The number to call. John is in Staten Island. What's up, Johnny?
Hey, guys. Sorry to hear you're leaving, but looking forward to hearing you when you... wherever you wind up.
Thank you, John. I appreciate that. What's going on, man?
Well, I want to talk to you about Alonso. You know, he hit that home run 2 years ago in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, or maybe not all of a sudden, finally he realized that he's got to go the other way because he was trying to pull the ball a lot before that. And then all of a sudden, or maybe not all of a sudden, he has this great year for him last year.
Yep.
So I think the guy has to be looked at as not a player in 2024, but a player, you know, in this most recent year.
Okay, John, hold on.
To realize that.
Okay, but John, but why? I mean, that seems like a convenient way, and I respect this, but it seems like a convenient or an overly convenient way of you explaining why you don't want to see Pete leave the Mets. Why should he be viewed as a totally different player at the age of 30, 31?
Because he's not going to try to pull everything, and I think he's going to be hitting 30 to 40 points higher on average
That's a guess.
And much more productive, just like he was this past year.
Okay, I got you.
Based on what? What makes you think he's going to hit 30 or 40 points higher? That's a lot.
What did he finish up this year? 250?
Well, what did he hit? Yeah.
30 or 40 points
higher this year.
Yeah, okay, but that's kind of where his career average was.
Well, that's 30 points higher than the previous year, and in 2023 hit 217, right. So that's basically 40 points
exactly.
higher.
But that was his career average.
Yeah.
The 217 is an aberration. So to come back to the norm, I mean, Pete's batting average, and thank you for the call, John.
Thanks, John.
260, 230, 262, 271, 217, yep. 240, 272.
Yes.
He's a career 253 hitter. If you told me Pete would hit 270 again or 260 something, I wouldn't be shocked. If you tell me Pete's going to be 280, 290, he's 30 or 40 points higher than 270. He's 300. He's not a 300 hitter. He's never been.
No, he's not going to be that 285 guy. My biggest concern, which is what I think complicated his free agency last winter, was that he really needed, he was morphing into a very unattractive hitter. Aging, relative, a righty, slow, and a low average. And now that the average has been stabilized, well, now the emphasis on the power should be, in theory, much more appreciated in the terms of a longer contract, because he's disproven the notion that maybe he's turning into this very undesirable 220-ish hitter with a lot of whiffs.
Yeah.
You know?
Look, Pete Alonso is what he is. He's a proven power hitter that plays every single day. Now, at some point, and I'm sure this is part of the calculation from the front offices around the league, at some point, you have to think that that's going to go away, which is why a safe bet is say, well, we think he could do this for 3 years. And then after that, maybe start to not play as much, maybe start to decline a little bit. Pete Alonso's not going to play 162 games and hit 40 home runs every year. I mean, if he did that, he's going to be a Hall of Famer if he does that for another 4 or 5 years.
Well, honestly, you know, independent of my critiques, he might be a Hall of Famer anyway.
I mean, he
might finish with 500 home runs. I don't think he's great. I think he's good.
BT is halfway. I mean,
Harold Baines is in. I mean, things have changed a little bit.
Pete Alonso can't be considered a Hall of Famer right now.
I'm saying if he keeps going, he has 500 home runs, he's getting in.
But that's a big if. So let's do the math. I mean, how many more years? He's got 264 right now.
You have his numbers up?
I do.
Okay, so he's got 264.
Yeah.
And how many RBIs?
712.
All right, 712. So let's say he play. I mean, it's too easy to double it, but let's just say he doubles this. At that point, he's at 1,424 RBIs. I did that fast. I think that's right. 1,424 ribbies. And, you know, at that point, more than 500 home runs.
Yeah, but
he's in.
So he's already had 7 years. So he's got to give you another seven of that type of production, in which he's going to be this year 31. He's already 31 right now. He just turned 31 a couple of days ago. Happy birthday, Pete.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
So he's 31.
Happy birthday, Pete. Now go knock on every door in every suite begging for a 5-year deal. That's weak.
Looking for a gift. He's 30. He'll be his 31 season. You're telling me that over the next 7 seasons, you think he's going to be able to hit another 200? What does he need? Another 236?
I'm not worried about the home runs. Now,
if he gets to 500, then I guess he would.
Yeah, of course.
Especially doing it cleanly. You know what I mean?
Well, that's my point.
There's a long way to go.
I understand. That's the halfway point. You know, you and I and others our age that grew up with a certain standard, we have had to modify what we view the Hall of Fame as. You know, and guys like I forget about all the names like the Cobbs and the Aarons and the Ruths. I don't mean those names. But like when we were growing up, and me more with Mike Schmidt, the next generation after that, you know.
Slightly,
but like the Maddoxes and guys like that, and obviously Bonds and some of the steroid players, obviously A-Rod, phenomenal, Jeter. Like that is the standard in our mind, because that's a continuation of the greatness that was uncompromised when we thought about the Hall of Fame as kids. But it's clearly changed. And if Pete hits 500 bombs and they don't put him in, I'll break the doors down and put him in.
But
I'm not even a massive fan.
But A, that is a big, big if.
Well,
B, look at his numbers now. To say that if right now, based on what he did, there's no way to me that I would consider him a Hall of Famer. Never had a top 5 MVP finish. Very few bold. I mean, there's a couple. Led the league in doubles this year. Led the league in ribbies in 2022. Led the league in homers in 2019. Come on. I mean, Hall of Famer? I'm not saying he's not a proven power hitter. And maybe he can get to 500, and then maybe that will be the ticket in. And if that's the case, even more so that the Mets and others should be looking to get him for 5 years. Think about it. You're saying that he's going to replicate the production that he's had over the course of another 7 years, which would get him into the Hall of Fame, well, then why not commit 5 more years to him? Teams don't even want to do that, it seems.
I know. That's why it's a real it's a head-scratcher here.
Doesn't mean it's right, by the way, that agreed. The other team could be amiss.
Agreed. All right, so I'll do this fast, all right? So because you start thinking 6, 7 years, that's who the hell knows. But 31, 32, 33, 34 of age. Do you think that he will average 40 home? That's a little ambitious, but you want to say average
35. Meet in the middle.
The math's tougher. Give me an even 40, will you? Yeah. Let's go 40 times 40, 160, all right? Now, he's got 264. If he hits 160, and by the way, he could do like 50 one year and then 37 another. So I'm saying the average of 40. So you're talking about, so that's 160 to what he already has. Sal, at that point, he's already at 424 RBIs. He's 34 years old.
Yeah, how many? But that's a big if.
But it's just replicating what he's done already.
How many years did you say that?
Four. The next 4 years, 31, 32, 33, 34.
Right, but you want 40. You want to average 40 home runs a year.
Yeah, but even if he has 1 year where he has 35, where he gets hurt, he has 32. He's going to, if he goes to Boston, he's going to hit 50 home runs 1 year.
Over the last 4 years, he's almost averaged 40 on the button.
There you go.
40, 46, 34, and then 38. So he's too shy of averaging 40.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, I'm just saying, if you go through the math, if it, 7 years, if you just say 30 home runs a year.
It's 210.
Exactly. You think he's going to...
That's 210 you said, and that's shy.
That's 30, and he has never hit less than 34.
So you're with me. You think he's going to get 500. Years.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's not like he's 36. He's 30.
He can hit 45 home runs. He can hit 45 home runs in one season. He can hit 45 home runs in one season.
Age 31 season coming up. So that's my premise from before is the same. Because I said age 31, 32, 33, 34.
Oh, God. Gary Sheffield.
You're with me on the math.
Yeah.
You're obviously with me. If he gets there, he's a Hall of Famer.
You think Pete's a Hall of Famer?
Oh, no doubt.
If he gets there.
Which is the stupid thing here. Is that we're sitting here going, he can't be. No one could sign him more than 3 years. The guy will be a Hall of Famer after he hits his number 500 home run.
I agree with that.
Why are we doing this to this guy?
I'm not.
Everybody is.
Well, because he's not there yet.
I want Alonzo back. He's not a Hall of Famer.
Oh, come on. Is Gary Sheffield a Hall of Famer?
Who?
Gary Sheffield.
Gary Sheffield is a better player than Pete Alonso.
Okay.
I agree with that.
500 home runs and he should be in the Hall of Fame. Right.
All right, but the question is the PED stuff.
Yes.
So Don Mattingly was so far better than Pete Alonso. It's not even worth discussing. It's not disparaging Pete. Mattingly at his peak, come on. Like, it's not even a conversation.
No, it's not. But now this is a very unconventional way of looking at it. Let's take Mattingly's 5 peak years, right? And let's look at Mattingly's career and Pete's career. And look at it from an investment portfolio point of view. Those 5 years, it's like you have Apple and Beta. And like it's just your return is not 8-9%. You're 30, 40, 60%. You're raking in the money. And then all of a sudden, it's stabilized. And then the back goes. And then all of a sudden, and I'm not even going to incorporate dividends. That'll complicate this too much. But then for Mattingly's portfolio, it goes from the Apple stock or whatever amazing stock test, whatever it might be, to something much less desirable, and you lose some of the money that you gained as it exploded over the 5 years. Where with Pete, because he had 53, which broke the rookie mark from Judge his first year, it starts out as a soaring stock, and because his lows never went as low as Donnie's did, he's going to maintain more value and actually make more money over his career.
I know.
I mean, Donnie, make me go against Donnie here.
No, I'm not, but
BT. 288 with no power for a couple of years.
So,
hit 256 1 year when he urged back.
Alonzo, rookie of the year, 5-time All-Star. One of those years was BS. But anyway, rookie of the year.
A lot of those guys you could say that
rookie
about.
Rookie of the year, 5-time All-Star.
All right.
Silver Slugger.
Okay.
2-time Home Run Derby champ.
I don't care about it. The Home Run Derby means nothing.
Mattingly.
It's stupid.
MVP.
Understood. Batting title.
Batting title.
Second place in the MVP.
9-time Gold Glove. 3-time Silver Slugger. Like, he's had at least two top five. Look, and they're totally different players. Pete Alonso is a better power hitter than Don Mattingly was. That's just what he does.
He's also more physically reliable. He played more.
I know. I'm sorry. I just don't look at Pete Alonso as a whole.
Get it. This is also a massive. And I want him back, and you don't.
That's the irony here. Well, I want the Mets to bring him back, and you don't.
I know. But I'm just trying to be fair to the conversation, and so are you. So we can think one thing, but when then something else presents itself, like a Hall of Fame, again, based on a massive fudging of numbers, anticipation of certain benchmarks. Pete Alonso, if he gets in with 500 home runs, he's getting into the Hall of Fame.
You think he's going to hit 500?
Yeah, I do.
And if he does, he's probably going to be.
And he's going to be, 12, 13, 1,400 RBI. Yes.
If that's the case, even more reason for the Mets to extend beyond their three-year absurd offer. I told you what I would do, man. I would have given him 6,180 from the beginning of the year. People are like, oh, I wouldn't do that. And now it looks like that's going to be way overboard. I don't care. Would have locked him up here. Would have been a lifelong Met, and away you go, and you don't have to worry about it. Now they're playing, free agent footsie here, and the chance that he might go to Baltimore, he's going to go hit 500 in another uniform. See, that would mean something to me. I don't get caught up in the emotion, the homegrown Met, the meaningless all-time record, whatever pedestrian record it is for the Mets with the franchise.
Strawberry, yeah.
Home runs. 500's a different
animal. It's different.
For a homegrown guy to hit 500 homers on his way to the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, yeah.
That's different if you project years out. But I still wouldn't do it based off of that. I do it because if there are people who believe he's going to hit 500 homers, and that's the one thing that Pete you can count on with is the power, then he's got to do that in a Met uniform.
I mean, the guy's getting in. I mean, again, if he hits those numbers,
it's a big if.
I know. But
can I just compare you to somebody that just got elected to the Hall of Fame? From ages 31 to 40.
That's when Ken did his damage.
Yeah, but he was also in the Balco Labs potentially out in San Francisco.
Well, we don't know that.
That's why I said potentially.
We don't.
I think I said the same thing.
We don't know that, but what we do know is he never had the power numbers ever before. Yeah.
Interesting coincidence.
And who are the other players that have produced those type numbers as they get older? Bonds comes to mind.
Everybody who's been implicated in the wrong stuff.
I mean, come on.
David Ortiz didn't do much with the Twins early on. He played 6 years in Minnesota. He was a platoon guy.
Even Sheffield, all those guys that were raking and putting up 35 and 100 or 40 and 100, age 35, 36, 37. That doesn't happen anymore. Guys used to age better back then. I wonder how that was. Now, I'm not saying Ken did anything. I don't know, but it's just odd to look at the disparity in numbers. And forget even the disparity, the fact that he could produce those numbers at a high level as he got older is absurd. It just doesn't add up.
He's going to get in if he does that. If he does what we just said he could do, and we just did the math for you, it's going to be impossible for a young baseball fan like my son or your daughter down the road or Recco's kids, whatever it might be. If you go to baseballreference.com in the year 2042, and you see, Pete Alonso, and because he's already done this, 37-94, 53-120, 41-31, 46-118, 38-126, and he's got 3, 4, 5 more years like that, I guarantee he's a first ballot guy, let alone just getting in, and he should be at that point.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.